of disinformation. It's your host, live and uncensored, David Knight.
It's Thursday, October the 26th, 2017. I'm David Knight. Today we're going to be looking at Hillary. The news just keeps getting worse for her, poor dear. You know, she's been called, accurately by President Trump, she was called Crooked Hillary. I think maybe we need to revise that a little bit. I think Dirty Hillary is maybe a little bit better word, because what she is doing, crooked just isn't strong enough of a word. And when we look at the way that they sexed up the dirty dossier, as I reported yesterday, when the opposition research was initially funded, the Fusion GPS research was initially funded, it was done by Republicans. Jeb has been reported to be the source of that. Of course, that's what you would expect from the other side of the CIA dark government, the Jeb Bush side. But he focused on business dealings. But when the Democrats and Hillary Clinton got a hold of it, they made it about dirty sex. That was their fantasy. The other Jeb's fantasy was, dirty business dealings. So then it got to McCain. And, of course, McCain passed it around with the FBI. The FBI tried to fund it. So we see the entire establishment, the Bushes, the Clintons, the establishment, political parties, both sides, and the FBI. And so we're going to talk today about what is happening. It looks like that perhaps she violated election laws by not being transparent about what these funds are being used for. Process crimes are the most important crimes in many cases. As well, it's looking bad for her because the Department of Justice has now cleared the witness who was had their lawyer come out not too long ago complaining about the fact that he had been gagged during 2016, that he was the one who explained to the FBI what was going on with these companies that they were clearing to buy Uranium One. But he was gagged even though the FBI and the Department of Justice knew that these individuals were corrupt. They knew they were involved in bribery, money laundering. They still cleared the sale. And then they gagged him. They threatened him with jail and other things. That was Obama's Department of Justice. That was the FBI. And now things have changed. Now the Department of Justice has cleared him, has removed the gag order. So now we're going to find out even more about Hillary. So that's going to be interesting. Also, we've got an update about the shooting in Vegas. Some information was given to Tucker Carlson about the border crossing of Jesus Campos, driving himself several hundred miles just 1 week after he'd been shot in the leg. So that's kind of interesting that we have to get information that way. We'll also have a guest, Outlaw Morgan. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on. Of course, the big issue coming up politically, we get tied up in these back and forth issues of the personal attacks that come up from people. And that's one of the reasons why they do these personal attacks. The reason that Bob Corker and Jeff Flake do this is because they know that if they criticize President Trump enough, that he will fire back. And that's all that the media will talk about, unfortunately. And it would be great if President Trump would hold his fire. But that's not going to happen. That's not the nature. That's not his nature. So everybody is talking about that. But what they're not talking about is the tax reform plan that comes up for a vote today in Congress. And there's a lot of division in the Republican Party on that. So we're going to take a look at what is happening with that. Meanwhile, we've got Gary Cohen floating the idea that we should have a gas tax hike for the infrastructure. Now, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to people paying fees to support the infrastructure. But just understand that when we look at what's going on here, like so many different issues, and we see these no-bid contracts going out to military-industrial complex contractors so often that it cost us a little over $500 million in today's dollars to build the entire interstate system over two decades. The entire U.S. interstate system. Now they want $1 trillion just to prop it up. That tells you something about how rapidly the costs have gone out of control for construction of our infrastructure. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from
from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
It's Thursday, October 26, 2017. I'm David Knight. We have some major bad news for Hillary. Looks like she's going to now be investigated. A complaint has been filed with the FEC saying that she has violated election laws. You know, it came out just yesterday about the millions of dollars that were spent to create this fictitious dirty dossier. And that is a process crime if you do not declare that. And one group, which is not a conservative group, by the way, and they have accepted money from George Soros. That should tell you something about how the left has abandoned Hillary Clinton. We were talking about that yesterday. It looks like they are trying to cut her off to make sure that they can preserve themselves, hopefully. Hopefully they can't preserve themselves. Hopefully this is just the beginning. But yes, she is Crooked Hillary. And as I said at the beginning, at the top of the hour, she is really Dirty Hillary. And we're finding out just how dirty she is. But that could be a very important violation, that process crime. As we've pointed out before, you know, Bill Clinton was never impeached for any of the crimes that he committed. As a matter of fact, the special prosecutor didn't even really come after him for the allegations of sexual assault, for rape, none of the financial crimes that he really wholeheartedly investigate. Instead, what he went after was the process crime of committing perjury for a consensual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. That's the process crime for which he was impeached. And so many times people will, as part of an investigation into a crime, they will lie to the FBI. That's why it was so important for them to have the tarmac meeting. That's why it was so important for them not to have a recording of the questioning by the FBI so that no process crime would be committed or exposed there. Nevertheless, when you're running for office, you have to file written reports, and the paperwork was not done. And so now you've got a liberal Soros-funded group coming after Hillary, saying she violated election laws. And the Department of Justice has now taken the gag off of the witness who, first of all, exposed the corruption behind the Uranium One deal, did it 15 months before Hillary and others, like Eric Holder, who was head of the Department of Justice, approved it. You think that had something to do with the fact that the Department of Justice and the FBI put a gag order on him with a non-disclosure agreement? Said, no, you can't talk about this, especially last year when the election was going through. So now that has been removed by the Trump Department of Justice, by Jeff Sessions. So good job, Jeff Sessions. We call him out whenever he should do something and he doesn't do it. Well, now he's acted pretty quickly in terms of getting this gag order off. So that's a good information there. We also have more information coming up about the Vegas shooting. Some anonymous information was sent to Tucker Carlson about the activities of Jesus Campos. That raises some more interesting questions. And I find it very interesting that even journalists like Tucker Carlson, like Ann Coulter, are now saying, come on, this is absolutely absurd. Why do we have to get leaks to get any information about this? Why are we being lied to by the law enforcement agents? And of course, that's a good question. That's what we always say. You know, when we look at this, we get called a conspiracy theorist, and I don't have any I got some ideas about what I think might have been happening there. I can't prove them, but I do know that I'm being lied to, and that's what I'm interested in focusing on. I want people to understand that the government, for whatever reason, is lying to us and covering information up about the Las Vegas shooting, and that should raise some issues with people. Yet, whenever you do that, you're called a conspiracy theorist. And, of course, we're going to remind people here today, too, that the JFK files, that's where all the conspiracy theorists began. That's when the FBI created that term, conspiracy theorist, as a pejorative term to shut down anybody who questions the truthfulness of the official story, whether it's JFK or 9/11 or whatever. They call you a conspiracy theorist if you call them on their lies. I mean, when you talk about 9/11, I have never said what I think happened there. But I have called out the lies of the government and the things that are impossible. Remember the old adage from Arthur Conan Doyle. He had Sherlock Holmes say, you know, when you rule out the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth. Well, they give us a bunch of impossible statements and tell us, no, you can't question that. You can't question that. And that's the problem with that. We're also going to be joined in the show by Outlaw Morgan. He'll be joining us in the third hour. Let's take a look at some of the news. You know, when we had this shooting, the death of the four soldiers in Niger, I was one of the people who questions like, what are we doing there? I didn't know we were there. I didn't know we were involved in a war. And now Ron Paul is reminding Americans that it is far more extensive than that. The Free Thought Project points out Ron Paul reminds Americans the U.S. military is occupying 53 of 54 African nations. Did you know that? Did we have a public discussion about that? No, because all the government has to do is allege, whether it's true or not, that there is ISIS activity in a particular area, and then they are free to go there. And what I think we're going to wind up seeing, and I said this as well a few days ago, I think we're going to wind up seeing Africa turned into the kind of chaos that we see in the Middle East because of the natural resources that are so abundant in Africa. And the Bilderberg Group talked about that just a couple of years ago. That was one of the key items, Africa. It's like Africa, that's been kind of quiet. We said at the time, looks like they're going to start up some kind of neo-colonialism, and that certainly looks like it's well underway. As the story says, while many Americans are aware that the U.S. is at war in countries like Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, you know, we're in war in seven different countries, the bare minimum, that we have not declared war for. Barack Obama's presidency was the first time that we have had a president who, for the entire 8 years of his administration, has been at war. He inherited the wars. I guess we were pretty close with George W. Bush, but he didn't get started until a few months into his administration. And then Barack Obama inherited several wars and then added several more wars to it, none of which have we had a vote on. They said because the media attention that has been given to those conflicts, people are aware of that. But when the news of four U.S. soldiers being killed in Niger came as a surprise, it left some people saying, since when were we at war with Africa? Former Texas Congressman Ron Paul weighed in on the situation, noted this appears to be one more war that the U.S. is fighting without approval from Congress. And it's a war that includes the presence of U.S. troops in 53 out of 54 African nations. Lindsey Graham, of course, he's always there plotting any war, anywhere, for any reason. Lindsey Graham says, you're going to see more action in Africa, not less. You're going to see more aggression by the United States towards our enemies, not less. And Senator Rand Paul said, you know you're in too many wars in too many places when even warmonger Lindsey Graham can't keep track anymore. Boy, does that say it. How many years, how many wars, how many places are we going to be at war without ever having a public discussion? Because, you know, when you have a public discussion, it brings up some uncomfortable questions like why and also what does it look like to win? See, they don't ever want to stop any of these wars, just like we saw in Afghanistan and are seeing in Afghanistan. They want to stay there forever. And one of the ways that they do that is to not have any definition of what winning is. We're going to stay there till we win it. Well, how do we know that we won it? Well, I'll tell you when I figure that out. I'll know it when I see it, maybe. And so we just stay forever. Quick update on the situation with the illegal alien teenager, the foreign citizen, criminally trespassing in the United States, who came here to have a taxpayer-paid abortion. And remember, that became a court case that was weighed in by eight state attorneys general. And they tried to get the U.S. taxpayers to pay for this abortion. And understand, we cannot be on the hook just from a financial standpoint to provide abortions as well as educations for every child in the world who wants to come here. But of course, the ACLU got their way. Even though it was eventually put a stay on taxpayers doing it, they took up donations and they made sure she could kill her unborn baby anyway. What was that about, people bringing their kids over without their permission?
Taking my time, choosing my lines, trying to decide what to do. Looks like my
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. It's October the 26th, 2017. A very dark day for Hillary Clinton. And we can take some dark joy in that. The Germans have a word for that, Schadenfreude, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Taking a dark joy in the misfortunes of others, because we're talking about dirty Hillary here. Not just crooked Hillary. She's very dirty. And she has been given a pass by the dirty FBI. And let's understand, I've got an article here that was written by the Future of Freedom Foundation, James Bavard, going over the long history of the FBI. I mean, you probably thought the FBI was a bunch of Boy Scouts, right? Because you remember the program with FBI's Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. And that was a big PR propaganda tool. And that's not the way these guys have operated. But of course, it was a genius of J. Edgar Hoover that he would have a program like that to make it look so sanitized. Very corrupt at the top. Very corrupt at the top. Yes, they did catch criminals, and yes, they did law enforcement, and I'm not criticizing every single FBI agent, but you got to understand that at the top, with J. Edgar Hoover and others, it was as corrupt as anything that's going on in Washington, D.C. today. It's nothing new that's happening here. But we're going to talk about what's going on with the history of the FBI. Who investigates the investigators? You know, that was always the age-old question. Who watches the watchers? Who oversees the surveillance state? Who watches what they're doing? Well, apparently nobody. And nobody investigates the FBI, because they're the FBI. They investigate you, okay? So we're going to get to that in just a moment. You know, there's an article I thought was kind of interesting on Daily Mail a couple of days ago. Are you vitamin D deficient? Six signs that your doctor might miss. Having a low mood, having constant tiredness, having frequent colds and cough, having poor muscle strength, recurring infection, aching bones. And now we have a solution for it. You can actually supplement it very easily. And of course, the question is, when we identify things that are necessary for your health, the question is, how are you going to get a good source of it? Right? You can get stuff that is synthetic, stuff that's got a lot of fillers in it. How do you know that you've got a good source of it? Well, we do have a good source of it. Our Winter Sun Liquid Vitamin D is now 50% off. You can take a look at the reviews on our third party. We don't keep those reviews ourselves. We actually turn that over to a third party to curate those reviews, just as we do our comments on our website. We get tired of getting questions from the FBI about somebody would leave some kind of a remark about the Bushes or the Clintons or something, and then they would come and ask us about it. So we turn that over to a third party. We did the same thing with our site reviews as well for our products. So you can take a look at what people have to say about that. And you can get vitamin D, our Winter Sun product. And we call it Winter Sun because people have a drop in their mood typically over the winter. Part of cabin fever is being enclosed in the cabin and not getting sunlight. It's not just that you're not seeing new things, but it's that you are not getting sunlight, which helps to create vitamin D. So you want to make sure that you are not vitamin D deficient. You can supplement that with Winter Sun Vitamin D. It's 50% off. Also, our colloidal silver, Silver Bullet, is now 50% off. And for a limited time only, you can get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. Just type in the code VITA10, that's VITA10, at checkout, and you can get 10% off of Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink. A great way to get all the essential minerals and vitamins that you need without having to swallow a lot of pills. And you can make it taste any way that you want. It tastes great just adding water. But if you want to turn it into something else, you can have a great tasting liquid format to get all of your vitamins with. Let's go back to the news a little bit before we get into Hillary Clinton, into the FBI, into the bad news for Hillary Clinton at the bottom of the hour. Amazon has a new key service that is going to let drivers enter your home when you're not there. See, it's not enough for them to be spying on everything that you do online or to have Alexa listening to everything you do. Now they're going to have people from Amazon that can come into your house. And of course, you can sign up for this. It's going to be a voluntary thing. Some of the other stuff that they do to follow you that's kind of creepy is not voluntary. They just do it, just like Google does. Remember when Eric Schmidt said, we're going to get right up to the line of creepy? And then they go a little bit over that because they know that that is the Overton window that they have to get past. They know that there's people had a natural sense of wanting privacy, and they have to gradually go past that. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process of infringement, just like when we're talking about the Second Amendment. They're not going to come in one fell swoop and get you to voluntarily give up your privacy. No, they do it by a death of a thousand cuts. And so now, to get you, I think it's an interesting metric, what it tells us about the American people, that Amazon believes, and maybe people will sign up for this, Amazon believes that you are so devoid of any interest in privacy that you will open your house to strangers to come in and drop packages off, because people have been stealing packages that are left on the porch. They call them porch pirates. It's a term for the people who steal the packages. So their solution is to come into your house. And what they're going to do is have a new cloud cam and a compatible smart lock. The camera is the hub, they say. It'll be connected to the internet via your home's Wi-Fi. The camera will talk to the lock over a wireless protocol that's utilized by a lot of smart home devices called Zigbee. When a courier arrives with a package for in-home delivery, they scan the barcode, they send the request to Amazon's cloud, and if everything checks out and the cloud gets permission by sending a message back to the camera, it starts recording. And then the courier gets a prompt on his app, and he swipes the screen, and the door unlocks. They drop off the package, they relock the door with another swipe, and then they're on their way. And it only cost $250 to get the hardware, and they say they do the installation for free. Now, when you look at this, does this raise any, do you see any problems, potential problems with this for you? I mean, you know, when you've got a situation where you've got porch pirates who are stealing packages off your front porch, that's one issue. Maybe Amazon will eat it. Maybe you will eat it. But when you have got locks hooked up to your internet, think about how many different internet pirates there are out there that could hack the Wi-Fi or could hack at so many different places they could enter and get into your home. You know, we talk about privacy. Alex has frequently used the metaphors like, why do we have doors? Why do we have doors? Why don't we just let everybody walk into our home all the time? Well, now you're going to let people walk into your home all the time because they've gotten to that point where nobody cares. See, we got Dodson here. Nobody cares. All right. Meanwhile, in North Carolina, we have a Democrat who is now pushing a new transgender Harvey. The opponents are calling it the Harvey Weinstein bathroom law. North Carolina's Democrat governor is asking a judge to cancel the state's much debated bathroom law. Remember, this was started by a transgender individual in Charlotte, North Carolina, who had a criminal record of sex offenses. And they said, we want to have men in the bathrooms. And, you know, they have to put on a dress or something to say that they identify as a woman, but then they can get into the bathroom, and that's, they said, no, we don't want to have that. So it's become a big deal. Now, a spokesman for North Carolina Values Coalition slammed this pro-transgender deal as a Harvey Weinstein bathroom law because it was announced as women across the nation react to the revelation that Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein, a Democrat, pressured women to watch him as he took showers. I mean, why would that be a problem, right? Why is it a problem to have people like Harvey Weinstein have free access to bathrooms? Because anybody can do that, right? We'll be right back.
Please. He's not sorry when snowflakes can't handle the truth. It's your host, David Knight.
Trying to make some sense of it all, but I can see it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, what we found out in the last couple of days is that we've got clowns and jokers on the left and the right who were creating fictitious dossiers about President Trump. The Republicans during the primaries, and then it was Hillary Clinton during the election, and then it became the FBI and John McCain afterwards to try to shut down the Trump administration. Clowns and jokers on the left and the right, the entire establishment, really, and that's what we've been seeing all along. Now, the news that came out today, I just want to hit this briefly, and then we'll go down a little bit more detail about Hillary, but I want to tell you what, give you an update on what's happened with Hillary, and then I want to talk about the FBI in particular and what we're learning about the FBI, and just go back and review what we know about the history of the FBI's leadership. Now, today what happened is we have the Hillary campaign and the DNC accused of violating election law with dossier payment. This is from Breitbart. They say the Campaign Legal Center, the CLC, which is a Washington, D.C.-based election law nonprofit, has filed a complaint with the Federal Elections Commission. According to the CLC, the Clinton campaign and the DNC violated federal law when they failed to accurately disclose the purpose and receipt of payments for the dossier of research alleging connections between the then-candidate Donald Trump and Russia, effectively hiding these payments from public scrutiny. Do you understand? This is a process crime, and it is a very important process crime. When you're not truthful on your FEC statements, that's like lying under oath. And actually, Bill Clinton was impeached for that, for lying under oath. They ignored the serious crimes that he had committed. They did not investigate those. Instead, they came with that and moved on with that. So this may be the way that they get Hillary Clinton out of the process. Tell her to shut up. Tell her you're not running for any more office. I mean, this lady is so delusional. She's going on this worldwide bitter loser whining tour about her book, What Happened, which, interestingly enough, she didn't mention anything about the dossier in that either. So she didn't mention it in her book. She didn't mention it in her FEC filings. And this may be one way to just get her out of the way, to tell her, you better be quiet or we're going to come after you for some more serious crimes, because there are plenty of serious crimes in the Clinton crime family. But the complaint alleges that DNC and Hillary for America reported dozens of payments totaling millions of dollars to the law firms, to the law firm Perkins Coie, with the purpose described as quote unquote legal services or quote legal compliance consulting. When in reality, those payments were earmarked for the firm Fusion GPS with the purpose of conducting opposition research on Donald Trump. Well, they weren't conducting research, they were writing works of fiction. They could have hired a better ghostwriter, perhaps, because what they came up with was patently absurd. As many people have pointed out, the idea of somebody who's basically a germaphobe would engage in stuff like that. It was kind of clear that it was coming from the Democrats and their dirty fantasies. That's why I think we need to stop calling her Crooked Hillary and call her Dirty Hillary, because that encompasses so much more. It's not just the corruption, the obstruction, the many different crimes that she's committed, but they also are pretty dirty with their dirty dossier. Citing FEC statements of policy that the purpose of disbursement, quote unquote, of campaign disclosure forms must be sufficiently specific to make the purpose of the disbursement clear, the CLC is arguing these facts constitute a violation of federal election law. And then here's the interesting part about this. As I pointed out before, this is a group that is affiliated with the left. They're not a right-wing group. Breitbart reports, by no means is this a right-leaning organization. It is officially nonpartisan, but they have taken donations from George Soros, and they're still partly funded by Soros Family Foundation. And they list opposing the effects of the Citizen United decision as part of its raison d'etre, in other words, its reason for existence. The group is most well-known in conservative circles for playing a leading role in urging Lois Lerner's IRS to investigate Tea Party groups. And, you know, that brings up another point, too. You know, we look at the fact that Scott Pruitt is doing such a great job at the EPA that he's got so many death threats that he's got to buy 24/7 security protection. You look at what the IRS is doing. Nothing ever happened with Lois Lerner. And Jeff Sessions is not doing anything about that. As a matter of fact, President Trump has not gotten rid of Koskinen, who was the IRS commissioner at the time. He should have been one of the first people who was replaced by President Trump. But he's not. And then what you see is, as President Trump, one of his first executive orders was to send a statement to the IRS saying, I don't want you to penalize people for not getting Obamacare, for not purchasing Obamacare, because that was the whole point, right? They said, well, you know, it's not constitutional for you to force people to buy product from a third party. And I said, well, we're going to call it a tax, and we can say that that's constitutional, and we're going to hire an army of IRS agents, 16, 17,000 IRS agents, to make sure that it's complied with. And they're still going after people. They're saying, they just reported last week, as we're getting towards the end of the year, if you file and you don't have that information there about the Obamacare, whether or not you're in insurance or whether you purchased Obamacare or not, if you don't have that, they're going to consider you to be a non-filer, and they're going to come after you with fines or whatever. So they're doubling down in defiance of President Trump's executive order. And President Trump still has this Obama IRS commissioner who was involved in using the IRS to prosecute Tea Party groups. Think about that. That was what Richard Nixon was impeached for. And when Richard Nixon did it, you had the then IRS commissioner said he put the order in a safe and he didn't execute it. And then they used that information to later impeach President Nixon. But this IRS commissioner, who is still there, who is overruling President Trump's orders, says, no, we're going to, Trump says we're going to leave him in. And he is going to now intimidate taxpayers. And also this group, getting back to the CLC, the CLC is well known in conservative circles for playing a leading role in using the IRS to investigate the Tea Party, okay? They filed an IRS complaint against Alabama U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore's religious foundation, and they hired a prominent Obama administration official as its senior ethics director. Isn't that interesting? So this is a group funded by Soros. This is a group that has as its ethics director a prominent Obama administration official, and they are filing a complaint with the FEC to get Hillary in trouble. That should tell you something, shouldn't it? Should tell you how, what kind of trouble she is in with the establishment, with the Democrat Party establishment. And there's going to be more trouble coming. The real serious crime, I think, is going to happen because the Department of Justice has now removed the gag order that Eric Holder and the FBI had put on the witness about the uranium, the fraudulent Uranium One sale, the sale to criminals that was approved by Hillary Clinton and by then Department of Justice head Eric Holder. So our attorney general, I should say, Eric Holder. So I want to take a look at the FBI's forgotten criminal record, and we're probably going to have to do this in the next break, but we'll get started on this. This is an article by James Bovard. And he writes for the Future of Freedom Foundation. He said, you know, everybody got really upset when President Trump fired James Comey. And we subsequently learned that James Comey had committed perjury. We subsequently learned that one of the first things that James Comey did, one of the first meetings he had, if not the first meeting, I don't remember if it was the first meeting or just one of the first meetings, he kind of threatened President Trump with this dirty dossier. It's like, hey, I've got this information that you did such and such. And immediately President Trump said, that's outrageous. Find out who put that out there and shut this thing down. And well, I just thought you might not want to have this go public. And that is exactly the types of things that J. Edgar Hoover did. J. Edgar Hoover was blackmailing everybody in Washington, senators, congressmen, presidents. And of course, it was Harry Truman who said, we got to get rid of this guy, but he didn't have the nerve to do it. We're going to go down the FBI's forgotten criminal record, this article from the Future of Freedom Foundation. It is excellent. They left one thing out. We're going to put that in there, very important thing that the FBI did, but we're going to look at their history. Is it any surprise that they would intimidate the witness about Uranium One, that they would put a gag order on him, that they would threaten to send him to jail or worse? I'm David Knight. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight on this October 26, 2017. We have several items that are on sale at 50% off. We have Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver, 50% off. We have Winter Sun, our vitamin D formula. That is also 50% off. We have Brain Force Plus, still 50% off. And I don't know how much longer that's going to last because we are getting very slow, very, very low on supplies. For Brain Force Plus, it's 50% off. Also, Super Male Vitality is 30% off, and Anthroplex, 50% off. And you can get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink at checkout when you enter the code VITA10. That's 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink, a great way to get all of your essential vitamins and minerals in an easy-to-assimilate, because it's in liquid form, an easy-to-assimilate, great-tasting formula. And, of course, with it being a liquid formula, you can make it taste any way you want, and you don't have to take a lot of pills. You can get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink with the code VITA10 at checkout. Let's take a look at what's happening with the investigators. Let's take a close look at Comey, Eric Holder, Robert Mueller, all these people who have been part of this phony investigation. And now the investigators are starting to be investigated. Here's one thing coming from Fox News. There's a smoking gun email revealing that the Obama Department of Justice blocked conservative groups from settlement funds. Now, this is a slush fund, and that's really what it was, folks. It was called that by people on the Republican side. It turns out it really was a slush fund. You could see that money was being donated by the Department of Justice to a lot of left-wing political causes and community organizer groups. And now we find out that there were emails from the Department of Justice saying, give to this group, but not to that group. Give to this liberal group, but not to that conservative group. And the whole thing is predicated on something that was false from the beginning. The idea that if you get an organization that has to pay penalties and fines to the federal government, that instead of making restitution to the victims, what a novel idea that victims would get restitution. The Department of Justice instead said, well, we will let you give that money to groups that are not involved in one way or the other with the crimes that you're convicted of having committed. So when Eric Holder was attorney general, reports Fox News, the Justice Department allowed prosecutors to strike agreements that would compel big companies to give money to groups that were not connected to their cases at all. So these are not victim groups. They're not connected in any way to the issue involved. But hey, we're going to find you guilty of a crime, and then we're going to have you make contributions to our favorite political causes is what's going on here. That's the corruption that we see in the Obama Department of Justice. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee claims that he has obtained a smoking gun email that proves the Obama Justice Department prevented settlement payouts from going to conservative-leaning organizations, even as liberal groups were awarded money and Department of officials were picking and choosing recipients. Representative Bob Goodlatte of Virginia said, it's not every day we have a congressional investigation where we find a smoking gun, but here we have it. He said that they were compelling big companies to give money to outside groups not connected. They've called this a slush fund in the past, and it is. But internal Justice Department emails released by Goodlatte indicated that not only were officials involved in determining which organizations would get the money, but the Justice Department officials may have intervened to make sure that the settlements didn't go to conservative groups. It's not every day, he said, in congressional investigations that we find this kind of smoking gun. In one of these emails, in July 2014, a senior Justice Department official expressed concerns about what groups would receive settlement money from Citigroup. And he said, here's some of our concerns. Our concerns include, A, not allowing Citi to pick a statewide intermediary like the Pacific Legal Foundation, which does conservative property rights legal services, said the official. And the Pacific Legal Foundation replied and said, well, we're flattered that the previous administration would be concerned enough about the success of vindicating individual liberty and property rights to prevent settlement funds from making their way to our organization, Pacific Legal Foundation. And here's what Attorney General Jeff Sessions had to say as he shut this process down. And he was spot on, and good job for doing this. He said, when the federal government settles a case against a corporate wrongdoer, any settlement fund should go first to the victims, wouldn't you think? And then to the American people, not to bankroll third-party special interest groups or the political friends of whoever is in power. He said that as they shut that down. Now, that's just one example of the corruption of the Obama administration. But let's talk about some others. Let's go back and take a look at the history of the FBI. This is an article by the Future of Freedom Foundation, authored by James Bovard. And he points out that the FBI has a long record of both deceit and incompetence. And that really started with J. Edgar Hoover, who was a lifetime leader of that group, a very corrupt individual. As a matter of fact, when I wanted to insult the criminal things that Comey was doing in terms of saying, well, we're not going to prosecute Hillary Clinton, but here are her felonies that she's created. But don't you try this at home. And then he comes after President Trump as well. And even left-leaning organizations were saying, we've never seen this. Even from J. Edgar Hoover. So I used to call him J. Edgar Comey. We've never seen a situation, they said, where even J. Edgar Hoover would come after both candidates of both parties and lean on them, trying to get leverage on them. And that's what we saw with Comey. But he points out that it was really nothing until Woodrow Wilson got us involved into World War I. And he would do anything to get us involved in World War I. I've talked about how he put a film director who did a movie about the American Revolution, The Spirit of 76. Woodrow Wilson censored that. And when the guy rebelled against the censorship and didn't cut out parts that Woodrow Wilson was upset about because it showed the British in a bad light. And Woodrow Wilson wanted to get us involved in World War One with the British. So they say, better not show that. You better censor that. When the guy didn't do it, he got a $10,000 fine back in the 19-teens, about 100 years ago. That was a fortune because our dollar's worth about 1 cent after the Federal Reserve got a hold of it. The last 100 years is about worth about 1 cent in purchasing power. So you can multiply that by, you know, a factor of 100. So $1 million fine, and he got a jail term. And the Supreme Court said there is no First Amendment for films. And that stood until the mid-1950s. That was Woodrow Wilson. And that was only part of it. J. Edgar Hoover led what's known as the infamous Palmer Raids, where they went through and took 10,000 people and then avoided keeping an accurate account of the detainees. That was when he maneuvered himself into a political leverage with the president because he was coming after people who would oppose the war. And that turned into a bit of a debacle, but the Bureau devoted its attention to its real enemies, writes Bovard, the U.S. Congress. They began after that targeting senators, whom the Attorney General saw as threats to America. The Bureau was breaking into the offices and homes, intercepting their mail, tapping their telephones. You think all this stuff started with computers? So we haven't had any protections against this kind of illegal spying by law enforcement in our country for over 100 years, since the FBI got involved in all this. They had the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee was illegally targeted because the Bureau feared that he might support diplomatic recognition of the Soviet Union. Hoover built an agency, he says, that utterly intimidated official Washington. It was in 1945 that Harry Truman wrote in his diary, "We want no Gestapo or secret police. The FBI is trending in that direction. This must stop." But, of course, he didn't stop it. And then after the Security Act of 1950, they exploded in their authority. That was with the Communist Scare. And then from 56 through 71, they created the FBI COINTEL program. Thousands of covert operations to incite street warfare between violent groups. They busied themselves forging poison pen letters to wreck the marriages of activists. The FBI set up a ghetto informant program. That's what they called it, ghetto informant program. And it had 7,402 informants. It would identify purveyors of extremist literature in the black community and keep an eye on Afro-American type bookstores, as they put it, including obtaining the names of the people who went to the bookstores so they could be turned into the FBI. And then in 1976, we found that there was a report from the Senate looking at the COINTEL program. They called it, in the report, the Senate report, a secret war against those citizens the FBI considers to be a threat to the established order. See, they were coming after citizens. They were coming after politicians. Anybody that threatened the established order, anybody that J. Edgar Hoover didn't like, any politician that he could blackmail to stay in power, that's the way they worked. And remember, the FBI was at the center of the Branch Davidians being burned to death at Waco, as he points out. They were the ones who sent in the tanks. They were the ones who really set the buildings on fire. And this article doesn't even talk about Randy Weaver's wife, who was shot in the head, point-blank range, by an FBI sniper while she was carrying a baby. And there was a lawsuit with millions of dollars compensation. That is the history of the FBI, not the phony Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. story. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. We're going to take a look at some of the top news that's coming out before we get back to Hillary Clinton and the criminals and the FBI and the Obama Department of Justice. It's very important that we investigate the investors. I guess you could call them that. They were investing in the deep state, weren't they? They were investing in globalism. That's the way these people were operating. And it was a very broad group of people who were pushing this dirty dossier. One of the articles that we have here is about John McCain. He won't say whether or not he knew that he was handing the Clinton-funded Russian dossier to the FBI. In other words, He said that he gave it to Comey, but he won't say whether or not he knew that it was funded by Hillary Clinton or where he got that information. See, it started with Jeb. It was about business. Then the Democrats took it over, and Dirty Hillary turned it into a dirty sex dossier. And then you had John McCain go send his staff to get it out of the British spy who created this work of fiction. And he shopped it around to Comey. And now he won't say whether he knew how it was paid when he passed it off. And he's denied that he was the one that gave it to BuzzFeed, who made it, who popularized it, who put it out in the public. But, of course, it was FBI Director Comey, after it was given to him by John McCain, who met with President Trump and kind of, you know, threw that over the horizon at him to say, hey, better pay attention to this. So we're going to take a look at that in just a minute. But, of course, there's also what is happening in terms of surveillance. Talked about how people are so careless with their privacy, so naive about technology, that they will allow Amazon and others to enter their houses to deliver packages. So they've got this system that they've set up, and I'm sure it's going to be absolutely safe because nobody ever hacks into Wi-Fi, right? That never happens. Nobody can get into your house if you've got the locks connected to the internet. I mean, that's the most insane thing ever. Why don't you just leave the key on the door or tell Amazon that it's under the mat or something? You would be a lot safer than spending $250 for this system to let strangers into your house. But the question is, can we get Americans to care about their privacy? Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since we had the revelations from Snowden, and everybody was pretty amazed by it, but then nothing ever happened. Nobody, except for Rand Paul and Ron Wyden, really cared about any of this stuff. The Section 702, which they say, of the Patriot Act, which they say gives them authorization to do dragnet surveillance of American citizens without having a search warrant. And again, think about that. From a legal standpoint, you cannot pass a law that is in direct contradiction to the Constitution. The language is very simple. The language is very clear. I don't need some judge or Supreme Court to interpret it for me. It's not like it was written in a foreign language. It's very simple. It's very clear. They need a search warrant. And they need to be very specific about what they're looking for and why they're looking for it and who they're looking at. Instead, they're looking at everybody for no reason at all. And that's the thing that is very concerning. So Section 702 has had to be reauthorized periodically. It's coming up for another reauthorization. But you've got Ron Wyden and Rand Paul, a bipartisan group actually of at least 10 U.S. senators who plan to introduce legislation that will substantially reform aspects of the NSA's warrantless internet surveillance program. Why don't we just say we really mean it with the Fourth Amendment? You know, that's the problem I have with the constitutional conventions that are being pushed by conservatives. First of all, the biggest issue that we have is not term limits. I mean, that's a big issue. And that can get to, we need to get these guys out. But I think we're going to see with this war on the GOP, I think we're going to find a way to get these people out. But I think the biggest issue that we've got is the fact that they don't even pay attention to the Constitution they swear allegiance to. So why would they pay attention to any amendment that they put in there from a constitutional convention? It's just going to be dead in the water because they don't care what the Fourth Amendment says. They don't care what the Sixth Amendment says, first or the second. None of this matters. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back.
You found it. It's the real news. From the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. It's October 26, 2017. Late tonight, the JFK files are going to be released. And we've got a video here of President, we got a video that goes back to the JFK film by Oliver Stone, where he's talking about why would they shut up all these files? You know, that's the same sort of thing that we're seeing with the Vegas shooting right now. Why is everything being shut down? Why are they telling us lies? And, of course, that is the basis of why they have come up with this term conspiracy theorist. It goes all the way back to the JFK assassination. If you question the official story, then you are a conspiracy theorist, because the official story was a lone shooter. And forget what all those witnesses said that they heard. Forget the forensic evidence. Forget the Zapruder film. There was one shooter. Shut up. If you say anything else, if you have any problems with the magic bullet theory that came out by Arlen Specter, who basically parlayed that into a long Senate career as a reward, I guess, from the establishment for coming up with this absurd story about how many different directions and how much damage was done by a single bullet. That's the magic bullet theory. If you question any of that, no matter how absurd it is, then you were a conspiracy theorist. That's when the term began, was with the JFK assassination. So let's take a look at this video that was from the Oliver Stone film JFK. This is Kevin Costner, the investigator, talking to a jury about why has the FBI sealed all these files.
There are hundreds of documents that could help prove this conspiracy. Why are they being withheld or burned by the government? All these documents are yours. The people's property. You pay for it. But because the government considers you children who might be too disturbed or distressed to face this reality, or because you might possibly lynch those involved, you cannot see these documents for another 75 years.
That's right, your children. So they have to dole this out to you. Just like your children, so they have to take your money and then dole it back to you like children on allowance, like Bernie Sanders said. Hey, yeah, your taxes are going to go up, but you're going to get a lot of free stuff, essentially. So you'll be fine. We'll decide who gets the money and in what quantities. We'll dole it back to you like an allowance. And that's the way they're doing the information about the JFK file. Now, we're going to have a release of the CIA's files. I don't expect to see anything significant about that, because you're not going to have somebody write in the CIA files, "I did it," or "so-and-so did it," or "so-and-so was there." I don't know. I guess the question everybody wants to know is, why were they keeping this secret? Why was it so important for them to keep it secret? Why is the CIA still saying they want it secret? And that's the thing that kind of piques your interest. So again, I don't know that we're going to get a smoking gun, or let's say multiple smoking guns out of this, but we might find out why Lee Harvey Oswald was in the USSR. We might find some details about him. Who knows what we're going to find out. But that's going to come out later tonight. I think it's midnight that's going to be released. We're going to get the JFK information on that. And so while that is happening, we're still asking what's going on with the special investigation. What's going on with John McCain? Where did he get this dossier? Did he know that it was being funded by Hillary Clinton and the DNC? Did he know that it was false? Why would he shop something like this around? And then there's other questions that are coming up as we look at Uranium One. And of course, they have now, the Department of Justice has removed the gag order and the threats that were put on the witness who exposed the criminal actions 15 months before Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and others in the Obama administration approved the sale of 20% or more of our uranium to the Russians. They gagged that witness. They threatened him with jail, or her. We don't know if it was a man or a woman yet, but now that has been removed by the Department of Justice, so more information is going to be coming out. But we do know that Robert Mueller was involved in taking uranium to Russia and other issues. And now there's more information about Robert Mueller. Newsbud points out that targeting Michael Flynn and shielding the radical cleric Fethullah Gulen, special counsel Robert Mueller must step down. We've already had lawyers who worked opposite Robert Mueller talk about how he was a Torquemada, how he was somebody who would go to any length to get dirt on somebody, who would follow any lead no matter how absurd, and how he would shut down any criticism of his actions or of the FBI. And now Newsbud reports General Michael Flynn, former National Security Advisor to President Trump, is being investigated by special counsel for accepting legitimate payments from Turkish companies for researching and exposing wanted terrorist and radical Islamicist Fethullah Gulen and his $25 billion criminal network in the U.S. Former FBI Director Robert Mueller is special counsel in charge of the case, the same one who used his position as director of the FBI to shield and cover up Gulen's criminal terrorist network and operations and to take drastic measures to quash a whistleblower's Gulen-related reports. Oh, does that sound familiar? Somebody at the FBI shutting down a whistleblower's report? We know that happened with the Uranium One cell. And what they're reporting is that this happened with a whistleblower on Fethullah Gulen's actions. And as Fethullah Gulen was brought into the country, there were officials in the, I think it was in the State Department, who said, we don't want to have him in this country. But the CIA and others, like Robert Mueller, made sure that he came in the country. And he stayed right there in Langley area, and he has a big complex up in Pennsylvania. We've covered the story about how he gets over $500 million for schools that are run by this radical Muslim cleric who was part of the power struggle that's going on in Turkey right now between Erdogan and Fethullah Gulen. At one time, they were allies. As Erdogan turned away from a more secular government towards an Islamic government. But then the two became competing power centers and has been at the center of the attempted coup this last summer. And they report on Newsbud, not long after being appointed, Mr. Mueller began targeting former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, investigating and expanded the investigation beyond the Russiagate probe, because there's nothing there, and began a furious pursuit of Mr. Flynn's Turkish connections and his vocal stand on the wanted radical Islamic cleric Fethullah Gulen. Mueller's inquiries went from the Russian connections to Flynn's outing of Gulen's $25 billion sleeper terror cell in the U.S. Not finding any substantial evidence against Flynn with the Russiagate scope, the special counsel team switched gears and started a Turkeygate investigation, as they point out. And, of course, any time that you have somebody, this is one of the, actually the film was Killing Ed. Mark Hall put that together. And he was looking at the pitfalls of charter schools. Very popular in conservative circles. Yes, we would like to see more choice in education. And, of course, in order to have choice, you've got to have some way to fund that choice. So charter schools have popped up as an alternative to that. But the dark side of that is how crony capitalism plays a big effect in that. And beyond crony capitalism, there is the worst case situation of the Fethullah Gulen related schools. And he lays that out very extensively in his investigation in the documentary Killing Ed, about how this organization has been investigated by a lot of different law enforcement agencies, but it always seems to somehow be shut down. This is an agent, a group that has over 1,000 Islamic schools worldwide. And here in the United States, they're getting charter school money. But, of course, here in the United States, they don't have any explicit religious instruction. Instead, what they do is they take the best and the brightest of the students, and they send them on junkets to Turkey, along with choice congressmen, many of them conservative congressmen. And they teach, as a language option, Turkish language in their schools. I mean, you would expect something like Spanish. But why is that culture being pushed so hard by the Fethullah Gulen schools? Meanwhile, we have Representative DeSantis saying that former FBI Director Comey's role in the Russian dossier is a major issue that Congress must investigate. And in that investigation, they need to pull in John McCain, find out what he knew, when he knew it, and who was funding this as he worked with the Democrats to try to take down the Trump administration even after it was elected. That's the collusion. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight on this October 26, 2017. You know, it's very important to make sure that you have the right nutrition. If you don't have vitamin C, you get rickets, right? Well, if you don't have vitamin D, there's a lot of different things that can happen to you. For one, you can get frequent infections, reports Daily Mail. Vitamin D is vital to the health of the immune system. Without sufficient amounts, our immune cells are unable to react appropriately, leaving us more susceptible to infections, as a doctor. You're also depressed, especially in winter. That's why we call our vitamin D winter sun. So vitamin D is understood to play a key role in maintaining healthy levels of serotonin in the brain. These are neurotransmitters in the brain that are essential to mood, and deficiencies have been associated with depression. And so that helps to keep you from being depressed in winter. That's why we call it Winter Sun. It is now 50% off, along with colloidal silver. Our silver bullet is also 50% off. Brain Force Plus is 50% off, as well as Anthroplex. Super Male Vitality you'll find at InfoWarsStore.com, 30% off, and 10% off of Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix when you enter the code VITA10 at checkout. That's VITA10 at checkout to get 10% off of Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink. That's got all of the essential vitamins and minerals that you're going to need, and an easy-to-take drink mix. So you can get that 10% off with the code VITA10. Let's take a look at what came out yesterday about the Vegas shooting. We had Tucker Carlson talking about the fact that he was given a document by an anonymous source showing a border crossing by Jesus Campos just 1 week after he was supposedly shot. That raises a lot of questions. One of them being, why do we have to have leaks to get the truth from our government? But of course we know why, because they cover everything up. That's why it's important to have organizations like WikiLeaks, who will put the truth out there when the government covers it up. They'll put the truth out that the mainstream media won't talk about as well. But they will get the documents that the government doesn't want to release. But this is an internal whistleblower who sent this to Tucker Carlson, and here's what he had to say last night.
Received this document from a confidential source this afternoon. It's a Customs and Border Patrol form, and it shows that Jesus Campos entered the United States from Mexico at the San Ysidro border crossing in San Diego County almost exactly to the hour 1 week after the Las Vegas shooting at the beginning of October. Now, the document does not reveal how long Campos had been in Mexico. Our source told us that Campos entered the U.S. at the same crossing in January of this year. At that time, he was driving his own vehicle with Nevada plates. And yet, in this document from a little over 2 weeks ago, Campos was driving what appears to be a rental car with California plates. Now, this information raises a number of questions about the Las Vegas investigation and the crime itself. Jesus Campos is the only eyewitness to the biggest mass shooting in modern American history. At the time he was in Mexico, the press was reporting that investigators thought Paddock, Stephen Paddock, may have had an accomplice in these killings. Why did authorities allow Campos to leave the country just days after the shooting, while the investigation was still chaotic and, of course, ongoing? How did Campos, who reportedly had a gunshot wound to the leg from a high-powered rifle round, manage to travel to Mexico? Did he fly? Did he drive? Was his employer aware that he left the country? Were investigators aware? Did they facilitate the trip? What day did Campos get to Mexico? How was he able to drive back for hundreds of miles from the San Diego border back to Las Vegas? Why did he take a rental car instead of his own car? The union that represents Campos told us they were aware that he left the country. They claim it was a pre-planned visit. Why did it take a government leak for the rest of us to find that out? Why has MGM been so intent on controlling availability to
Yeah, it seems like the union has changed their story as well. We heard after he'd been gone missing for 4 or 5 days, the union leader said, I'm very concerned about him. I don't know where he is. And then remember, at that time, MGM came out and said, don't worry about it. We know where he is, and he'll talk to people when he's good and ready. And then he comes on and does a dog and pony show with Ellen DeGeneres, who had, as we showed, connections to MGM prior to that. She was shown having her personalized slot machine where you can also become a multimillionaire, just like Stephen Paddock did. Remember, he became a multimillionaire, they say, by playing video poker. So you can go play the Ellen DeGeneres machines that have her face all over it, and you become a multimillionaire as well. That's what Vegas wants you to believe. That's what the Vegas police and MGM would like for you to believe. And that was done shortly before the shooting. She did a segment for her show where she went down there and surprised people who were playing her celebrity slot machine. They were so interested in it. But then she has Jesus on her show and doesn't ask him where he's been. That's what everybody was asking. Now the union is saying, oh, we knew he was out of the country. Really? I mean, the way they flip and change their stories, the way they're lying to cover this stuff up is absolutely amazing. And so remember that he was called a hero because we were all told that he got shot because he was the one who came in and stopped the shooting, who interrupted the lone wolf shooter. And then they flipped that narrative in reverse, just like we've seen the narrative about Russian collusion being flipped in reverse with the revelations about Hillary Clinton. And why were they able to get away with that? Well, it was because they were covering up information. Eventually, the truth is going to come out, just like it's coming out about the Russian collusion. Eventually, truth is going to come out about the MGM collusion. I mean, many people still not looked at the massive sell-off by not just the CEO of MGM Resorts, selling 90% of his stock 3 weeks before the shooting, 90% of his stock in a market that's a big bull market. We've had a giant bull market since President Trump became president. And we had 18 out of 21 research analysts rating MGM Resort stock as a buy, and the CEO sells off 90% of his stock, and massive sell-off by other individuals involved there. So nobody's looking at that aspect of it yet either. But I think it's very interesting that we see the union switching its story, saying, oh yeah, we knew he was in Mexico. Did you know that he wasn't licensed? Did you know that the paperwork hadn't been filed by the company that supposedly employed him? I mean, who's he employee of? None of that, of course, was asked by Ellen. She didn't even ask, where have you been? Don't ask anything about that. Don't ask anything, a personal question about him. I mean, somebody like Ellen DeGeneres, of course, she's going to ask personal questions you would expect, right? So tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you an American citizen? Are you a licensed security guard or whatever? What was it like? No, none of this stuff. None of the where have you been questions that everybody else, all the real journalists would have done. And of course, the Las Vegas Police Department said he was scared away by Laura Loomer, not by the fact that he had set up 5 interviews. And of course, it's also convenient that his disappearance occurred at the same time that the Las Vegas Police Department flipped that narrative around, so that instead of him being the last one on the scene at the end of the shooting, he was the first person on the scene before the shooting began. And then there was a delay between the time that he got shot and the time that the police were sent. And that created liability for MGM. And then he disappeared. And then within a day or so, you had the sheriff come out and say, oh no, it wasn't 6 minutes. It was only 40 seconds between the time that he was shot and the time that we were called. Yeah, very, very suspicious. And now the Las Vegas shooter's laptop is missing its hard drive. Isn't that interesting? No information on his hard drive. Meanwhile, his brother, this is a criminal family, folks, arrested for child pornography. And we find out that he himself, his brother, has got a long rap list of arson, criminal threats, burglary. I mean, yeah, it's in the family. I think that guy's a crook, but I don't think he's the only shooter.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. We were just talking about the Vegas shooting. You know, I think there were multiple shooters. I'm not sure even if Stephen Paddock was one of them. I mean, it really does look like an arms deal that went bad. I mean, that's just looking at the evidence there. The investigators there saying, yeah, he had the police saying he had the arms stocked up there. He had a lot of rifles stocked up that he didn't even use. And it looked like a gun store. And we've seen the U.S. government stage false flag events as part of Gunwalker program, as part of the Fast and Furious. They've done that many times for their own purposes. But let's not draw a conclusion here. Let's just focus on the lies and the contradictions and the strange things that are coming out of this. And, you know, when you do that, as Tucker Carlson did, we've talked about that the last segment. You get called a conspiracy theorist. So now, welcome, Tucker. Everybody's calling you a conspiracy theorist for calling out the lies and the inconsistencies and the strange things that are now being leaked by people inside law enforcement because it's being shut down by others. Really strange questions. You know, one of the things that came out, of course, besides the fact that now the disk drive of the alleged shooter, Stephen Paddock, besides the fact that his disk drive was removed from his computer, so they now cannot go back and find out anything. They said they had determined that he had purchased some software that would wipe out information. Well, you know, if it was an arms deal gone bad, or if this guy was a patsy, they might not have known that he had information to, you know, wipe his server. You know, like with a cloth, as Hillary Clinton would say. You know, a bit bleach, I think, was the name of the product that was her choice of record here. But of course, they will also physically remove the evidence as well. But it was also interesting. I thought the article talking about the missing disk drive says that his finances didn't appear to be a problem. He had settled any debts that he had with the casinos shortly before the attacks at a source. Now, isn't that interesting? Here's a guy who I didn't even know that he would have any debts to the casinos because, you know, he became a multimillionaire by playing a video poker machine. As silly as that is. But evidently he did have debts. And isn't it interesting that Paddock would pay off all of those debts to the casinos just before he goes into the shooting spree and commits suicide? I find that also very interesting. It's another one of the follow the money issues here that I think raises a lot of questions, along with the fact that he purchased a rifle. Remember, much was made about the fact that he purchased a rifle just hours before he left his hometown and went to Las Vegas. He purchased a brand new rifle. He passed the background checks, nothing on him, but he didn't take that rifle with him. Why would he purchase a rifle and then leave it just before he goes? None of this stuff makes any sense. Why would he settle the debts? And why would he even have debts? Because he was such a successful gambler. He made so much money playing slot machines and video poker. And it's absolutely, absolutely insane. But of course, if you question any of this stuff, you are labeled a conspiracy theorist, as they've been doing since the JFK assassination. And then, as I was pointing out, his brother, now arrested for child pornography. And interestingly enough, just like their dad, they have a long criminal history. It must be something in the family, something in the genes, isn't it? His brother, who said, gee, he was just an ordinary guy. He was a real estate investor. He was a very successful real estate investor, very successful gambler, played those video slot machines. Well, his brother, not only has he been arrested now for child porn crimes, but he has had in the past charges of arson, criminal threats, burglary, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. I don't think that this guy, Stephen Paddock, is a Boy Scout. But just like the sheriff said, how did he do all that? How did one guy do all that? I have questions about that. But, of course, he doesn't have any questions now. It's a settled matter. And even though it's a settled matter and they have an individual with no motive, they have to physically look at his brain, supposedly, to get some information about that. But, of course, no forensic reports about his blood. No forensic reports about the injury to him, the shooting injury that killed him. But they're going to look at his brain for motives. yeah, I guess we should all have our brains examined if we believe the official story. You know, there was an interesting report that came out of New York. On-the-job sex between cops and civilians, I hate it when they do that, cops and civilians, like we live in some kind of a military dictatorship. Well, maybe we do. Maybe that's accurate. Between cops and civilians, that should always be illegal, says a politician. So, you know, if you're raped by a cop when you've got handcuffs on you, that should be illegal. And we should have a special law to make sure that that's illegal. Why does that require special law? What is the matter with this? A Brooklyn city councilman is looking into making it illegal for police officers to have sex with people in their custody in the wake of an investigation into two Coney Island detectives who are accused of raping a teenager. All right, so we're talking about raping, and we're talking about an underage individual here as well. But there's a loophole in the law that they need to fix to make that illegal. Traeger has joined a chorus of other advocates and critics saying that the problem is that there is a power differential between the police and civilians. And that power differential should make sex between them automatically non-consensual. So do you understand what is at the center of all this? I mean, if you go in and here's a situation you had. Two on-duty police officers arrest a woman. They pick up a woman during a traffic stop, and they say to her that they're going to arrest her unless she cooperates or what. They said that she could have sex with them or she could go to the precinct. So they took her to an isolated location, raped her while she was handcuffed. Now, how many laws were violated with that? They're just flat-out laws. But see, just as we had with hate crime, which is always difficult to assess, right? Because now you're talking about somebody's motive, their state of mind, and usually it's enough to say that they beat somebody or they murdered somebody or they raped somebody that was underage, a teenager. I mean, isn't that enough? Why do we have to have another law to say, oh, and by the way, on-duty police officers can't handcuff a teenager and rape her. We're going to make that illegal. There's no way that this was consensual sex. And so what they're saying is that there's a power differential here. And you see where this is headed, right? This is going into political correctness land. They're saying, well, we have laws that ban correctional and parole officers from having sex with detainees or parolees, but we don't have anything that bans off-duty, on-duty police officers. Okay, I understand that when you're talking to a correctional officer and a parole officer, that is a situation where there is not, you know, they don't have handcuffs on them, and you could have a situation where they intimidate somebody, and so clearly you would make that illegal because you don't want them to use their power there. But when you've got on-duty police officers handcuffing somebody and raping a teenager, that should be enough. That should not require more laws. The question is, are they going to do anything to these guys about this? That's the real question. And so we're starting to get into this situation where they're playing the power game issues. And take a look at Joe Biden, one of the guys who loves to play the power game. And we're going to show you some pictures of him as we've documented over the years, so many times of him inappropriately touching people. But here's a quick video of Joe Biden appearing with Lady Gaga, of all people, to talk about what they shouldn't do sexually.
I'm here with not only a great friend, but a fierce advocate. Lady Gaga has been the voice for people who have been forgotten and people who have been abused.
A paragon of virtue.
So it happens to you, will it happen to her? And she's shown enormous courage. And we want to make it real clear. It's on us. It's on everyone to intervene, to stop abuse when they see it and when they hear about it, to intervene. No man has a right to raise the hand of a woman for any reason other than self-defense, ever, period.
And that's,
I mean, this is absolutely amazing. This is the left. So Joe Biden goes on with somebody who has been hypersexualized in her videos, satanic in her videos, and she's going to tell you, lecture you about appropriate behavior sexually from Lady Gaga. And Joe Biden seriously does a PSA with Lady Gaga about rape and other issues. This is just amazing. This is why the Democrats keep losing. They're absolutely clueless about what they're doing. I'm David Knight. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. We've been talking about some of the signs that your doctor may miss if you are vitamin D deficient. And of course, many of these are things like low mood, susceptibility to cold and infection, because vitamin D is essential to a healthy immune system. You know, it can also have muscle aches because of vitamin D deficiency. Receptors for vitamin D are located all over the body, including in the muscles. A doctor reporting this saying has a lot of general muscle aches are often the first telltale sign of a vitamin D deficiency, along with always being tired. So it's very important to make sure that just like you have clear symptoms if you're deficient in vitamin C, you have scurvy. That's why the British Navy started supplementing the diets of sailors who were on long voyages. They started giving them citrus, but of course they didn't have oranges, they had limes, so they started calling the British limeys because they were taking limes to avoid scurvy because of a vitamin C deficiency. Well, these types of symptoms, low mood, frequent coughs and colds, poor muscle strength, aching bones, incurring infection, constant tiredness, those are all signs of vitamin D deficiency. You can make sure that you're not deficient with winter sun. As some of these are manifest themselves during the winter because of lack of sunlight. That's why we call our vitamin D supplement winter sun. You can now get it 50% off. Just like colloidal silver is 50% off. Brain Force Plus is also 50% off. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. And Anthroplex, 50% off. Those are just some of the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Take a look at the products that we have there, the things that are on sale. That's what supports this program and this operation. And again, one more item. You can get 10% off of Vitamin Fusion Mineral Drink. Just enter the code VITA10. That's VITA10 to get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. It's a one way that you can take, instead of taking a lot of pills, you can just take a Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink and get all of your essential vitamins and minerals in an easy drink mix and get 10% off with VITA10 at checkout. Let's go back to Joe Biden and Lady Gaga, because Lady Gaga was about to speak and she was going to lecture us. Here's the situation. Just understand the hypocrisy and how the Hollywood, Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah group is trying to get out in front of this thing with virtue signaling by, of all people, getting Lady Gaga, who does these sexualized Satan-worshipping videos. And she's going to lecture us about appropriate sexual behavior along with Joe Biden. And we'll show you some of the many instances and report that for the people who are listening of Joe Biden's inappropriate touching of people. So here are the two people that other than Harvey Weinstein and his brother would be the most unlikely people to lecture the public on inappropriate sexual behavior. Lady Gaga and Joe Biden. Here's their PSA.
I'm here with not only a great friend, but a fierce advocate.
She's a fierce advocate.
Lady Gaga has been the voice for...
He doesn't say what.
Been ...forgotten that people have been abused until it happens to you. Well, it happened to her, and she's shown enormous courage. And we want to make it real clear. It's on us. It's on
they
everyone.
They push perverted sex in her videos.
When they see it,
satanic
when they hear about it,
worship, and then
it's
they lecture us.
No man has a right to raise the hand of a woman for any reason other than self-defense, ever, period.
So then why are you always...
the men as well.
Pushing that to people visually.
I am a sexual assault survivor, and I know the effects, the aftermath, the trauma, psychological, physical, mental. It can be terrifying, waking up every day feeling unsafe in your own body. But we're here to remind you that it's important to reach out to someone in your life that you can trust, and to know that they will be there to help you. There will be someone to listen. Because you know what? It's on us.
That's interesting. He didn't do the typical kind of inappropriate touching there with Lady Gaga that you see him do with the little kids who are sons, or actually daughters of senators who are being sworn in. You know, to see the two of them lecture us on inappropriate sexual behavior is like having these Hollywood stars who make billions on filming movies using firearms all the time lecture us about the Second Amendment and how evil guns are. I mean, that's what's really happening here. These people who are constantly showing guns, making money off of movies that have violence, excessive violence, and then lecturing us about private ownership of guns, showing them being used criminally, being used inappropriately, but we're not allowed to have guns to protect ourselves. And here's Lady Gaga and Joe Biden. Lady Gaga, who is out there doing these videos, as we all know what her videos look like, lecturing us on what is appropriate and inappropriate, just like the gun hypocrites. Here's a video of Joe Biden and his long history of inappropriate touching.
Are you bored yet?
You say get hiding?
On all these videos, you can see all these little children that he's stroking and bending over and kissing her on the forehead and how uncomfortable these kids are. It's like, get me out of here. I am trapped by this weird old guy.
My old
please, mommy, take me away.
Okay.
Yeah, he does this to everyone that he meets. And so this is the guy who wants to lecture us about what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. All right, let's go on to what's happening in Saudi Arabia. There's been some, while we're kind of focused on, and it is very important, what's going on with Hillary Clinton, what's going on as the Russian investigation has flipped, just like the Vegas investigation has flipped. We have it's done a complete 180. I want to take a look at what's going on with Saudi Arabia, because it is very important in the world. It is very important in our world. They have been a part of propping up the petrodollar. And, of course, they've been a big part of our foreign wars in the Middle East. We've had their intelligence agency linked deeply with the CIA, so that you can't tell where one ends and the other one begins. And, of course, they were deeply involved in 9/11, weren't they? And that may tell you something about the CIA involvement in 9/11, the fact they had Saudis there. But we never get too much information from the missing 28 pages after they were finally released. They did put some information in there about Saudis basically setting up these individuals from Saudi Arabia as fall guys, kind of like Stephen Paddock. But that was damaging, and the Saudi Arabian government didn't want that to come out, even though it went into the official report. So I think we're going to see something kind of like that coming out of the JFK report. But take a look at what's going on in Saudi Arabia right now. There is, it's been called Davos in the Desert. And there's been a few articles that you can see in the last couple of days, been on the Drudge Report about this. What this is a gathering of individuals like you typically see at Davos, that you typically see at Bilderberg. It's like at Davos is the World Economic Forum. Well, it's the same type of people. You got former Prime Minister Tony Blair. You got former French President Sarkozy. You've got the Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, IMF manager Christine Lagarde, Larry Fink, the guy who was trying to take down Bitcoin along with Jamie Dimon. Larry Fink is the chairman of the world's largest hedge fund, BlackRock. And, of course, there's all kinds of central bank governors and finance ministers are all there. And this is taking place in the desert. But what they're doing is they're trying to roll out a new and improved westernized Saudi Arabia. And when I first saw these articles, I thought, wow, is that going to fly with the rest of the Muslim groups here? What is going to happen? And there's another danger here for the new crown prince and for Saudi Arabia. And that is they're starting to pull away a little bit from their close relationship with the U.S. They've started cultivating a relationship with Russia, for example. And they have said that they're going to invest money in Russia. And Russia has responded by saying, oh, we'll give you access to purchasing arms from us. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what we've been doing with them in terms of the prop up of the petrodollar for quite a long time. And then he's trying to show himself as part of the globalist establishment. And so to get credos with them, you have to push things like robots. And so now we've had Saudi Arabia saying that they're going to grant citizenship to a humanoid robot. And this is really just a PR ploy, understand. I mean, this is a very, this is no more of a thinking robot than the robots and the animatronics at Disney World. It's just set up exactly like this. But they say, well, we're going to give them citizenship. But you have to understand there's something far more sinister going on here. And I'm not just talking about the geopolitics of this. We'll talk about this after the break because we're coming up to the break here. But just as Alexander Dugin yesterday said, there has been a long concerted effort to make men and women the same. That's why we have all the stuff about transgenderism and gender fluidity and so forth. And he said the next step is to make sure that there's going to be an equivalence between humans and robots. And that's what this is about. When asked if she was self-aware, she said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know if you're a human? We'll be right back. I'm David Hunt.
From the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
We're going to get back to the Saudis and what is happening there as it looks like some major changes are going on and what might fundamentally that mean might mean for the petrodollar and the economy of the U.S. government, because they have been the ones who have been propping up our currency. If they make an alliance with Russia, will that mean that there is going to be a close alliance still with the U.S.? What will the CIA do about this regime? As a matter of fact, what will the radical Islamicists do about a modernized Saudi Arabia? This bears watching, and we're going to talk about the implications for not only Saudi Arabia, but for the world when we come back. But first, I want to take a look at some of the ridiculous political correctness that we have hitting us everywhere. We got a radical math teacher who thinks that mathematics is now perpetrating white privilege. This is a story from the New American, and it was exposed by Campus Reform. These are the same people who went to campus, had a video that surfaced a couple of days ago. We played it, where they went around asking college students about Bernie Sanders' tax plan. And of course, it wasn't Bernie Sanders' tax plan. It was Donald Trump's tax plan. But they asked him very specific questions about it. And as long as it was Bernie Sanders' tax plan, they loved it. And they would even double down and say, oh, I think it's a good idea to lower taxes on small businesses. I know my parents have a small business, and that would really help them to expand the business, to hire more people and so forth. But then when they found out it was Donald Trump, they were really taken back. They are part of the identity politics of the Democrat Party and the left. It is no longer about the information itself. It is simply about who says it. And that is what is behind this radical political correctness, this cultural Marxism that is being pushed on people. And it's even gone to mathematics. This is a math teacher who is saying that math perpetrates white privilege. How could that be? How could that be? Well, she says, when we tell people about the Pythagorean theorem and we tell them about pi, then it perpetrates a perception that mathematics was largely developed by Greeks and other Europeans. So we can't tell them about that stuff. This is absolutely insane. Well, you could just teach mathematics. I guess this is the new math, where you can't tell them the origin of this. Don't tell them that it was created by Pythagoras, but just tell them how it works, okay? They don't ever get into any applications, so the kids don't know how to use it anyway. That happened with new math. And then they destroyed the ability to even understand that there is such a thing as an objective right answer to anything with Common Core. They don't really care what the answer is. You can tell them that 2 + 2 = 5 as long as you can justify that you felt that way with a legitimate reason. And of course, that goes all the way back to 1984, that you can tell people that the rationale of what you see, the actual objective facts. You know, there's nothing that's more objective than math. And yet they have managed to take math and with Common Core and cultural Marxism, they can completely destroy even mathematics. They can destroy everything. It is a weapon. And you need to understand that this is a weapon. When they start talking about math being a tool of white privilege, that should be jumping the shark for you. At that point, you should say, I've got to get my kids out of these schools. Or if you're a kid, you don't want to go to these schools. You want to go somewhere where they can understand that at the very least in mathematics, there is objective truth. But that's why they target mathematics with Common Core, with white privilege. Meanwhile, we got Kellogg's caving into political correctness. USA Today is saying they're going to replace their racially insensitive corn pop boxes following somebody's complaint. One individual complains that their feelings were hurt because they've got a box that is very, very busy. On the back of the box, they've got these pictures of all these little corn flakes. And one snowflake saw this and said, wait a minute, one of them looks a little bit darker than the other ones, and he's dressed as a janitor. So now they're going to recall all their cornflake boxes. See, that's what happens. That is what they want. They want some squeaky wheel to shut down everything for everybody. And now they've caved to that, not only on cereal boxes, but on math.
You found it. It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we were just talking about the insanity of political correctness now going to the point of saying that we can't teach people about the Pythagorean theorem because it came from a Greek guy, and that pushes white privilege. Because when we talk about math discoveries by white Europeans, I guess that rules out the entire field of calculus. You know, we can't talk about that because that was, done by Europeans as well. So I guess we can strike down calculus. We can strike down trigonometry. Those are all just gone. Forget about what was discovered. It's discredited because of who discovered it. Just like Common Core, as I point out, you can't have a situation where objective answers matter anymore. That has to be destroyed. That's the way they control us. But before I get back to Saudi Arabia, I just have to put this in with an update on Shia LaBeouf. Because you can't talk about political correctness without looking at its end product and the insanity that is exhibited by someone like Shia. This is a guy who, remember, he will not divide us protest. That's been the subject of a great deal of entertainment by the merry pranksters at 4chan as they shut down his protests. And then he would, as he had to move out of New York, he went to different locations and they would track him down. Even though his camera was out in the wilderness, they would track him down. The fact that he would just show a camera that showed the flag against the sky, they eventually figured out where the guy was because it was a live video feed. Then he took it inside into a room and they figured out where it was. That whole crowdsource investigation that was done by 4chan is really funny, and it's documented really in an entertaining way by Internet Historian. But he's back now. He's doing it again, and they've already replied to him. But before we do, let me give you a little update as to what Shia has been doing in the meantime. Back in July, he was arrested for being drunk and disorderly in Savannah, Georgia. He entered a plea agreement stemming from his arrest in Georgia. He agreed to undergo anger management counseling as well as 30 days of mandatory drug counseling. And basically what he was doing is he was using foul language. He was drunk. A police officer went up to him and said, why don't you just go home? You're drunk. But instead, he got aggressive with the police officer, so the police officer said, all right, now you're under arrest. Then he decided he would run. The cop chased him down to a nearby hotel, arrested him in the lobby, and that's when, as they point out on MovieWeb, that's when the story takes a dark twist. He got verbally abusive to the police officers who originally had tried to help him out and just let him go to his hotel and sleep it off. But as they arrested him, he's in the pre-booking area, he reportedly continued to use profanities and shouted at the officers, why am I in custody? He began using racial and homophobic slurs. Remember, this is a guy who does, he will not divide us. He starts using racial and homophobic slurs against the police officers. He shouted at a white officer. He said, why are you placing your own kind into jail? And inside there, he told a black officer that he was going to go to hell, said that what he was doing, that he was a savage. So, called the black police officer savage, said to the white officer, why are you doing this to someone of your own kind? And then he called the other officers things like cowards, pirates, slimy, and profane things that they don't mention there. Now he's back. He has got his flag flying in France. And there was an attempt last night, by probably some people that are following him on 4chan to take down his flag. He's got it up on a pole. And this is, again, his He Will Not Divide Us protest. They had vandals using a flaming drone in western France where it went on display this month. The project features a white flag just with the words, He Will Not Divide Us. And again, he's tried this several times in New York, New Mexico, and Liverpool and so forth. But everywhere he goes, they track him down and they destroy his self-loathing anger. Show. And of course, he is a guy who thinks that he's an actor, that thinks that he's doing performance art as he does this kind of stuff and the many weird things that he's done in the past. It's now in an art gallery over an old biscuit factory in the French city of Nantes, I guess, if you pronounce that correctly. The flag came under attack several times. They tried to set it on fire. It was a remotely piloted drone, and it was carrying a piece of burning cloth to try to set the flag on fire. But the fireproof flag was undamaged and the attempt failed. But it is Shia who is actually burning himself down. And he's burned down his career, and he's going to continue to set himself on fire in numerous places. So he is a gift that just keeps on giving. And again, he will not divide us. And I guess maybe Shia is should start saying that Shia will not divide us, even with his racial epithets that he's hurling at police officers who arrest him for getting violent with people. He's got a lot of different issues. Let's go back to Saudi Arabia. And I want to play you a clip from this Davos in the desert that is happening right now. All the movers and shakers, former prime ministers, heads of central banks, heads of the IMF were there. And the new crown prince of Saudi Arabia is presenting himself to everybody as being not only a globalist, but also now a thoroughly modern globalist. And here's what he had to say at this conference that he has organized. It's the first time they've had this conference.
only want to go back to what we were, the moderate Islam that is open to the world, open to all the religions.
Oh, yeah, the imams are going to love that.
Seventy percent of the Saudi people are less than 30 years old. And quite frankly, we will not waste 30 years of our lives in dealing with extremist ideas. We will destroy them today.
I somehow don't think that most of the Muslims are going to take kindly to that, because, again, Mecca is in Saudi Arabia, and they're already pushing back against that. He is saying that he's going to be open to the world, open to all religions. And you got to understand that Saudi Arabia is probably the single place that is most closed to all religions. Is it no longer going to be a crime to even possess a Bible in Saudi Arabia? You know, people who go there from the West, who are Christians, who are going there to pump oil out of the ground for them and make them rich, they are prohibited from having Bibles. Will they no longer have religious police that patrol the streets and beat women that they think are not dressed appropriately? And of course, he has said and made a big public announcement of the fact, and he's doing a lot of PR with this. When he talked about the fact that they were going to allow women to drive cars for the first time, he had that press announcement in Washington at the same time that it was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. But of course, it's not going to happen for another year or so. Now, he is also unveiling blueprints of a $640 billion futuristic megacity that's going to have robots and driverless cars and so forth. They have made a big show of giving this animatronic, quote-unquote, robot. Like I said, it's straight out of Disney World. It's not a thinking machine. But they're trying to push this idea for the globalists. He's trying to make common cause with these people to show that he is one of them. He wants to equate robots with humans. Just as we were talking about yesterday, Alexander Dugin said, hey, look, they want to erase the difference between men and women. They want to create gender fluidity, and they want to erase the difference between humans and robots. Understand that when they talk about having sex robots, when they show you a female robot and she's saying, well, are robots self-aware? She says, her name is Sophia. She says, well, let me ask you this back. How do you know that you are human? See, that's what they're doing. They're erasing the difference between humanity and robots. They're going to give us full-on robots that we can use as sex bots. They're going to offer all kinds of things that they can hack in and augment your humanity to turn you into a cyborg. This is about erasing the distinction between humanity and robots. That is really truly what is at the base of this. And that is what Saudi Arabia is buying into. That's why they've got this futuristic megacity. That's why they are talking about how liberal they're going to be. And as you look at this, you've got to ask yourself how these radical jihadis are going to feel about this. They're already very upset about some modernization projects that he's got in Mecca. They say, you're destroying the cradle of Islam. Do you think that this is going to last very long? Do you think it's going to last very long if he gets rid of the petrodollar? Do you think that the CIA might use those radical Islamicists to take down this regime in Saudi Arabia? I think that's what's going to happen if he goes through with any of this. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. David Knight, it's October 26, 2017. Joining us in the next segment is going to be Outlaw Morgan. He says he's just an average guy, but he has been in a non-average fight against political correctness. So we're going to be talking to him in the next segment. Before we get back to the news, before we get back to Saudi Arabia, just want to remind you of some of the specials that we have here at InfoWarsStore.com. Brainforce Plus is still 50% off, as well as Anthroplex, 50% off. We have 30% off Super Male Vitality and two new sales that began this week. 50% off Winter Sun, that's our vitamin D supplement, as well as 50% off Silver Bullet, our colloidal silver product. It's a great time to stock up on those very popular products. You can take a look at the reviews on InfoWarsStore.com. It's third-party curated reviews and see what people rate these products. It's very important to have supplements like Winter Sun and Silver Bullet as we're approaching cold and flu season. Both of those are very effective in fighting that. We also have 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink Mix. Just enter the code VITA10 at checkout, and you can get 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion. It's a drink mix that gives you all the essential minerals and vitamins that you need in a very easy-to-take drink format. Enter VITA10 for 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink. All right, let's go back to Saudi Arabia. Again, as you see these moves by the Saudi crown prince to show how liberal and how progressive he is, not only socially liberal, socially progressive by giving women the ability to drive. I mean, imagine that, the freedom to drive, except that they are going to have to go with a male guardian and get permission from them, most likely, because they can't travel anywhere like that now without a male guardian even letting them go somewhere. So even though they may be able to now get behind the wheel of a real car, you know, the only time they could do any driving at all was when they went on ladies' night to a amusement park in Riyadh where everybody there was female and they didn't have to wear special clothing and they could actually even drive bumper cars, but no bumping because they just wanted the sensation of a little taste of freedom and control. But even though he may allow them to do this sometime next year in this PR play, he's showing a new futuristic city, $640 billion they're going to spend on this futuristic city that's going to have robots. And guess what? Nobody's going to be allowed to drive. Nobody's going to have the freedom to go anywhere. It's all going to be under his control. See? And he's pushing citizenship for his little robots and so forth and so on. Understand, there's an article here from The Intercept. And this is something, again, still coming out of the Ed Snowden documents. And it's a new document that shows how connected the CIA has been with Saudi Arabia. And it shows how connected the U.S. government has been with the moderate rebels, as John McCain calls them, in Syria. The Intercept has just released a new top-secret NSA document that was unearthed from leaked intelligence files provided by Ed Snowden. This is reported by Zero Hedge. It reveals in stunning clarity that armed opposition in Syria was under the direct command of foreign governments, like the United States, from the very earliest years of the war. It's now claimed over 500,000 lives. U.S. intelligence memo marked top secret, arguably the most damning piece of evidence to date, which gives internal U.S. government confirmation of the direct role that both the Saudi and the U.S. governments played in fueling an armed insurgency. And we said before that they created ISIS. We know this from multiple sources, but now we have yet another document showing this. They created Al-Qaeda. They created the Mujahideen, which then renamed itself to Al-Qaeda. They created ISIS so they could do regime change. They have funded, they have trained, they have transported the jihadis there. Multiple sources have told us this. Now we have some more documentary proof of this that has come out of a release of Ed Snowden documents. So we know this is happening. And it was kind of interesting because when Julian Assange was talking about how they had equated WikiLeaks with ISIS, I retweeted it and I said, does that mean that the U.S. government is now going to be funding and arming WikiLeaks like they did ISIS? I mean, this is something that we've known has gone on for a long time. According to the document, the Free Syrian Army, remember those were the moderates that John McCain met with, was ordered to light up Damascus and to flatten the Syrian capital's international airport. And they ordered that by Prince Salman bin Sultan, a prominent member, they say, of the Saudi royal family, tasked with overseeing operations in Syria, as well as a top Saudi intelligence officer. This is a guy who basically lives in Langley. That is how close the CIA and the Saudis have been. So if the Saudis start to move away from the petrodollar, and if they start to move towards Russia, and they've made moves like that in the last couple of weeks, as I said, donating massive amounts of money to the Russians, as well as getting arms deals with the Russians, which has basically been the exclusive territory of the U.S. We have to understand that the petrodollar is under attack by the Russians. It's under attack by the Chinese. The Chinese are launching a petro-yen in 2 months, and it is going to sound the death knell for the dollar's dominance, reports RT. It may. They have a lot of economic clout. And, of course, it's been the Saudis and the Chinese who have been buying our debt. That is why, with the petrodollar, it has been 60% of global reserves. Think about that. 60% of global reserves, and it has been 80% of payments because people would have to buy things in the dollar. That would be what would be required for transactions. Russia has started moving against this, saying that we are not going to accept payment in dollars at our ports for goods that are delivered there. You're going to have to use our currency. And so both Russia and China, and then, of course, minor players like Venezuela and Iran, who are not in great financial situation. But when China does this, this is a big deal when China does it. Venezuela is going to be in default within 48 hours. So the fact that they're getting rid of the American dollar is not that big a deal. But China, when they say that they're going to put out a petro yen, and when Russia is doing the same thing and making moves with Saudi Arabia, Max Kaiser sums it up this way. He says the U.S. empire of debt will go to war to stop the emergence of the petro yen. Yeah, it's not just the risk that the Saudi Arabian crown prince is doing by saying he's going to liberalize Saudi Arabia and he's going to get rid of a lot of these religious police and the fundamentalists, but because these people go to Mecca. That's the center of their religion. Do you think the jihadis are going to really stand for that? And even if they would, even if he was strong enough to put them down, do you think that if they make these moves against the petrodollar and if the petrodollar is in a weak situation, you don't think that the CIA will use these guys as surrogates? You don't think the USA might start a world war to protect their empire of debt? Perhaps that is what we're really fundamentally looking at when we look at this escalation of tensions with North Korea. The idea that we have multiple people with the power to actually do something about this moving against the U.S. dollar. And as Max Kaiser pointed out, Saddam Hussein wanted to start trading oil in euros. That was what made him dangerous. And when Muammar Gaddafi started saying he was going to do the same thing, as a matter of fact, Muammar Gaddafi was going to create a gold-backed currency. That's why he came down. And we saw that from the documents that were released by WikiLeaks about Hillary Clinton. They were saying something has to be done about this guy. We have these central banks who have our fiat currencies, and this guy is going to have a gold-backed currency. You know, Russia has tripled its gold reserves. See, that is a threat to the central bankers. That is what makes us concerned about a world war. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. We're going to have Outlaw Morgan joining us in the next segment.
It's David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be talking to Outlaw Morgan. We've got him here on Skype coming up, and you can find him on Twitter at Outlaw Morgan, also on YouTube. He has a channel, Outlaw Morgan. He began his fight against political correctness. He said when he got to the point where he just couldn't stand it anymore. And I guess that's true of many of us. You know, you get to the point where you don't do it because you want to, but because you got to. And I know a lot of you out there who follow the program are in the same position. So Outlaw Morgan is doing this, I guess, now full time. He says he's gotten death threats for his views, but he's still doing what he's doing. And we're going to talk to him about some of the things that have come up today. I want to get his opinion on what's going on with Jesus. We also want to get his feed on what is going on with Hillary Clinton. You know, we've had a year of lies about Hillary Clinton with this dossier. And as one reporter from Time Magazine, think about this. We've now got Time Magazine. We've got the Washington Post exposing this. They were the first ones who exposed this. Now we've got an organization that is a campaign honesty organization, but of course the guy who is head of their ethics group is a guy who was a high-ranking Obama official, and they're funded by George Soros, a heavy funder in the past and still funding them, and they have in the past made as a central purpose of their existence opposing Tea Party groups and trying to get the Obama administration shut them down. That organization, with all those Obama and Democrat connections, are the ones who are saying, wait a minute, we need to investigate Hillary for a federal election campaign violation because she filed false documents. This is a process crime that could be very dangerous. So now we've got Morgan ready to go. Welcome. Welcome, Morgan.
How are you, sir? Thank you for having me on. One thing I wanted to point out real fast before we get into anything is that not only have I received death threats, not only have I been banned multiple times from Facebook. I mean, I've been banned on a consistent level. I have several accounts. I recently actually got hacked on Facebook. So the page that I had on Facebook is now gone. it's become something totally different. But you know what? It's okay because my message is still the same. My perseverance and persistence is something to be admired, maybe. So,
yeah. Well, that's good. You know,
the thing with Hillary, let's just get right down to it. And let me just say this. How much more dirt do we actually have to have on Hillary Clinton to see action take place against her and the regime, the deep state, against her, her foundation, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, her list, way before the Russian narrative came back to bite her in the, you know, backside, you know, because that's what you do. You project your weakness onto your enemy. And that's what they did to Trump. They tried to project Russia onto Trump, and it didn't work. And basically, the Democratic Party and liberals alike are designed by default to basically eat themselves, kind of like the snake, the serpent that eats its own tail. The monsters eat itself. And basically, it was because how they played their cards is how they pushed the bishops across the chessboard. They might have really, you know, looking in hindsight, I'm sure they wish they would have never brought up Russia.
Well, you know, I think it's different now. I think now the worm has turned because, as I was saying, you know, we've got an organization that's filed a complaint with the FEC. Because now what we're seeing is something new. You know, if they went back with any of this other stuff and Comey said, well, we've taken a look at it, we've determined that there's nothing there. I think now that we're seeing some new revelations come out about Hillary, and of course, there's going to be more stuff that's going to come out about her. But now that we got some new stuff in there, we've really got a new clean slate where they can go in and investigate this. This guy that was gagged by the FBI, now the Trump Department of Justice, Sessions, has said we're going to remove that, and so they're going to investigate that. And now you got people like, you know, Time Magazine, you got Washington Post, all the people who've always covered for her. And it's important, I think, to remember, Morgan, and that's that they had the Republican establishment that was part of this dirty dossier stuff at the beginning and at the end. So it started by Jeb, and then it was picked up and shopped around to the FBI and other people by John McCain. So those are the kind of people who in the past would always protect Hillary. Hillary was okay as long as Democrats or even people like Jeb Bush and Senator McCain were in power. But now that they're not, we have a chance at having some justice done, I think.
Right. Well, you know, looking in hindsight, I would say it was an excellent idea that Trump actually fired Comey and everybody lost their minds. But basically, this was removing the problem because Comey has been protecting the Clintons for, you know, a decade or better. He is actually, along with Loretta Lynch, we all know that they have a really tight circle and this goes way back. So to remove these people and start to drain the swamp has been a really good play on his part. Hopefully by getting these people out of the way and putting the right people in place, we'll actually see something. Because between me and you, I feel doubtful that we'll actually see Hillary pay the price. I mean, look at the past 35 years that she's had in the political game and all of the stuff that she's done. Look at the election campaign season on itself, where bodies were just dropping on the campaign trail mystically. And, you know, in the things that she gets away with. So it's apparent that there are two separate rules and two separate set of rules and two separate set of laws. And maybe within our lifetime or within hers, I should say, we'll actually see her pay the price. And I think that Trump's a very smart man and he's playing in the background some serious games. So I'm hoping that goes down and that actually happens.
Well, I think the key thing is going to be whether or not we're going to know whether anything is really changing of any substance in Washington. If we see some of the corrupt criminals at the top of the FBI taken out, and it's not just firing Comey, he's got to fire Mueller. Mueller has been exposed by a number of people. He is very involved in the Russian cover-up of Uranium One. He's involved in all these issues, and he's dirty as well as Comey. They have all been part of this. If you're inside the club, nothing that you do is going to get you in jail. And so these guys need to be taken out, and they can make a good case now, a very good case, for taking out Mueller. This investigation has been going a long time. You've had a lot of lawyers who have opposed him in the past and said this guy is a Torquemada. This is a Spanish Inquisition type of guy. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was an editorial that came out by individual Silverglate, and he was talking about the Office of Special Prosecutor in general. He said, hey, this is something that's really troublesome because you really wind up very quickly just investigating the man. And this is taking us back to Stalin's Russia. You know, you got all the complicated laws that we live in here in America, especially when you get into financial crimes. He can find a crime on anybody in the Trump circle that had any kind of a life, that had any money. You can find a financial crime on anybody. Believe me, if you've got something as complicated as President Trump's business dealings, there's going to be something that they can make a financial crime out of. So that's what it turns into. But then you have personal issues with Mueller and the way that he's conducted prosecutorial misconduct and the people that he has chosen to be around him. At least two individuals have a long history of that. And then there's this connection to the uranium stuff. And for all those reasons, he's got to get rid of Mueller and this witch hunt, the special prosecution.
I'm glad you connected that, because I was actually going to like interject and be like, well, let's not forget who actually was the special handler to uranium. One, you know what I mean? It was Mueller himself. He was the do boy. He was the guy that actually got it done. So, I mean, and the funny thing is, a lot of us that have, you know, been woke for quite some time, we've known about Uranium One years ago. I don't know why it took the media so long to finally catch on. Perhaps it's because Trump actually released it live on television and the way he did. And that's what I love about Trump. That's what I love about his administration. You know, they're not afraid to go at the throat of the media. And that's what the media needs, because for far too long, the media has been the Clinton News Network, and they've basically been the propaganda machine that's, you know, putting us all into a fog. You know, like, here's a shiny object. Stay focused on this. There's nothing going on over here. But at some point, and I'm glad that the attention's actually shifted to Hillary Clinton, and I think the pressure needs to stay applied to Hillary Clinton. And you're right. I think Mueller needs to go. I think there's a lot of people in Washington that are on the right and the left that need to be, we need to drain the swamp. We need to pull the plug and let it go and hit it with Drano as it's going down.
That's right. You know, well, of course, we've known about Uranium One for a while, and we've known about the impropriety. It's like, look, just before this happened, he got this big speaking fee by the Russians of $500,000. And that was just the tip of the iceberg. They had like $48 million that they got. But the key thing that has changed with this now is the fact that we have a witness who's come forth and said the FBI was putting a gag on me, wouldn't let me talk about the fact that they approved this deal in spite of the fact that they knew, because I was working with them on this investigation 15 months before they approved it. That is the smoking gun. But now we've got several smoking guns that have come out in the last week. We're going to come right back, continue talking to Outlaw Morgan. I want to get his take on some of the revelations that have come out in the last 24 hours about the Vegas shooting. We've got a lot of people who have never been accused of being conspiracy theorists now being accused of that because they're checking the lies.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
Welcome back. We're talking to an outlaw right now. We're talking to Outlaw Morgan, and we're going to get right back to him in a moment. I want to ask him what he thinks about, we've been talking about Hillary Clinton. I want to ask him what he thinks about what he learned in the last 24 hours about some more of the lies coming out of Las Vegas. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what supports this program, as well as everything that we do here at InfoWars, and we really do appreciate your support. We have to fund ourselves independently because there is massive economic censorship that is happening across the web against InfoWars, against every independent media, but that's the way we support ourselves and stay independent. Let me tell you about some of the popular products that we've put on deep discount, 50% off. 50% off BrainForce Plus, 50% off Anthroplex, 50% off Silver Bullet, that's our colloidal silver, as well as 50% off Winter Sun. We have 50% off all Emmerich's Essential Packs, and that's our line of household organic non-GMO products. So we got a lot of products on deep, deep discount now. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Take a look at what's on sale right now. We also have 30% off Super Male Vitality, and we have 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink if you enter the code VITA10 at checkout. That's 10% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion Drink, our drink mix that gives you all the essential vitamins and minerals. You can get that 10% off with the code VITA10 at checkout. You know, outlaws, we're looking at the JFK files that are going to be coming out tonight. I don't really expect to see any admission of anything serious there. I don't think that they're going to have the flight itinerary of Barry Seal flying assassins in and out of Dallas or something like that. But the question is, you know, why would the CIA fight it at this time? And it's kind of interesting because it's coming at a time that we're seeing exactly the same type of thing happen with the Las Vegas shooting. The reason we have the term conspiracy theory is because nobody bought the idea that it was a single shooter that was engaged in the JFK assassination. And they didn't buy the lies that were coming out. So people were conducting their own investigation, as they're doing now. We got a lot of people who said, hey, we got a lot of eyewitnesses who saw multiple shooters and other things that are being covered up. We got a cover-up of the communications going back and forth with the police there. And we've seen multiple lies and distortions and switches in the timeline. So all this stuff is happening. I mean, maybe, you know, you look at the JFK stuff. My only question was, why would the CIA fight it? Maybe they're fighting it because they want us to pay more attention to that than to the current scam that they're running now. What do you think?
Well, I'll be honest. A part of me, let's break down the idea of being a conspiracy theorist first and foremost. I think that that's overplayed. I think that basically what it is there's a lot of us out there that have the capacity of thought that want to seek truth. And that's basically all it is. We're seeking truth because we know we're being lied to. We can't trust the mainstream media. We can't even trust the CIA. We can't even trust the FBI. This goes all the way back to the 50s with Operation Mockingbird. They've taken over these industries a long time ago to push propaganda. Now, moving forward to the JFK thing, I hope, now this is just me personally, I hope that somehow it indicates that Bush Sr. was actually involved in this. And let's not forget that a lot of these files were actually burned, and that's convenient. Yeah. We don't know what's actually going to be shown. Mm-hmm. Now, where it comes to Vegas, I find Vegas to be extremely interesting because I think we were lied to from the beginning all the way through. Most people are capable of knowing, and there's YouTube videos to prove it. And I mean, if you listen to the cadence of the shots, we know there was multiple shooters. There was definitely not just one shooter. There's multiple. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of cell phone footage and people being live and doing videos and et cetera. And there was an M240 Bravo. I mean, the cadence of the machine that was being used had a very distinct sound. It wasn't rapid fire bump stock sound, but there was different cadences. So we know that we were lied to about that. Now, secondly, what was the motive? Well, at first, I thought it was a disgruntled Democrat that basically opened up fire on what would be predominantly Trump supporters. And then I kept digging and I kept digging. And then I came up with the Fast and Furious theory, which is where it was a gun deal gone bad to supply terrorist weapons within our own borders. And that's not far-fetched. That can actually happen. It's happened.
Well, it's already happened. Yeah, they've run false flag operations in order to do that so they could get gun control legislation through.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like I was watching you earlier before I came on and you were talking about following the money. Now, this is where it gets really intriguing, because like you said, a lot of stocks were moved around. Soros even played a part in that, moving money from Sheldon Alderson's casino Sands to MGM. So and then on top of that, here's where it really gets interesting. I started paying a lot of attention to James Murren, who is the CEO of MGM International Resorts. He is connected to Michael Chertoff, who most people know, some maybe not. He was the head of Department of Homeland Security. Now, James Murren, the CEO, was also on the Board of Infrastructure Security with DHS. So he actually worked directly with DHS, meaning that he and Chertoff are connected. Now, Chertoff is actually also connected to ISO Systems. ISO Systems produces body scanner security, etc. ISO Systems, their stock after this happened started to skyrocket. And at this point, ISO Systems and Michael Chertoff began to talk about merging their company into one company. Who are they connected to? They're connected to James Murren. So the follow the money aspect of this I find to be really intriguing, and that makes me wonder if Paddock is even a real life person. Not saying he's not a real person, but is he a real person of interest, or was he just simply used to be a distraction? His brother, on the other hand, I'm glad
we look at the underwear bomber, for example. You know, we talk about Chertoff, and this is a guy who is head of Homeland Security, the first one, and then you know, this underwear bomber scam that was exposed by Kurt Haskell. You know, said, hey, I saw him escorted on the plane. He barely stand. He was out of it. And there was a guy in a suit that put him on there. And then immediately after this happens and it fails, they've got all the body scanners ready to roll out from Chertoff's company. And so that's very suspicious. And the guy you're mentioning, the CEO of MGM Resorts, he's the one who sold 90% of his stock. And he's not the only executive there. And we know that because they have to file reports with the SEC whenever somebody who is a corporate executive sells stock in his company, that's called insider trading. That doesn't mean that it's necessarily illegal, but they keep track of it so they could go back and investigate it. But of course, we know they're not going to do that.
Right, right. And that's the thing, though. I think we've been distracted from the beginning. Paddock was the shiny object. You know what I mean? And let's be honest. You can't lie to the public and tell them this guy was a lone shooter, but he had like 22, 23 weapons in the room. Now, funny thing is, none of the weapons that were in the room was, you know, anything of the caliber of an M240 Bravo. These were weapons that the Democratic Party basically wants to use as weapons of war against ordinary citizens, which is the AR-15, AK-47, et cetera, things of this nature. So, I mean, this thing actually spins into a couple of different directions. It could have been I hate to say false flag setup, because I know that they've actually taken it to the point now they let people carry things out. But this could have been done strictly for gun control measures. Funny, though, that the conversation about gun control pretty much vanished off shortly after.
Only the Republicans who are really pushing it at any point. And the Democrats, although you got some Democrats who are trying to push the typical stuff, you got Chuckie Schumer shutting it down because I think it's key. I think he says, look, we've got to get on to economic issues if we're going to win any elections here. And I think it's not just the fact that they don't want to get on things that have cost them elections in the past, like gun control and identity politics. But I think he also sees that this narrative is falling apart. If they try to attach themselves, try to attach gun control to this, boy, they're really done, because nobody's buying this. Even people like Tucker Carlson and Coulter are asking questions. What is going on? And that's not a conspiracy theory. They're not offering any theories about what happened. They're asking questions about the lies. And if you ask questions about the lies, like Tucker Carlson did last night, then you get called a conspiracy theorist. He didn't offer any theories about what happened.
Well, you know, conspiracy theorists it's the same thing as like calling someone homophobic, transphobic, misogynist, racist.
It's just like an F you. It's like that's what they're basically saying to people.
Simply a glitter word that they throw at you to stick to basically play with your emotions, because your first reaction, if anybody calls you racist, is to combat it. No, not me. I'm not a racist. But, you know, honestly, if most people were actually true with themselves, everyone on this planet has somewhat level of racism or bigotry or, you know.
Yeah, just look at Shia LaBeouf. Look what he was doing when he got arrested. He will not divide us, but he will divide us by race, won't he?
Yeah, so it's all hocus pocus, smoke and mirrors. But at the end of the day, the funny thing, because you said identity politics. Now, here's how I perceive what happened in Vegas supposedly to relate to identity politics. You shoot a bunch of Republicans, right, with firearms that were there having a good time. Now, they identify with the Second Amendment. That's their identity politics, freedom of speech, Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. That's what makes them Republican, that and conservative views. However, I think the hopes was, if this was a false flag operation, which a lot of my views towards leans that it was, I think it was ultimately to make those people switch, just like Jason Aldean did. You know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. And we've seen that happen. We've already seen some country and Western stars who backed off. They want to back off their association with the NRA, which is saying we're going to back off of the Second Amendment. One of them came out and said, I've always supported the Second Amendment, but I'm now for gun control. We have seen some of that. OutlawMorgan.com. You can also find him on Twitter at OutlawMorgan. And he said his Facebook's been taken over, but still, I'll give you the Facebook is also Outlaw Morgan. So take a look at Outlaw Morgan. Thank you for joining us, Morgan. And that's the end of our show.